Father, again, we thank you for just this double blessing this
yes.
morning, Father God, of the double meal. Father God, we thank you for Donna, for all of the time and that homemade bread from Sam's. We thank you for that, Father God. But right now, Father God, we pray for Brian, Father God, that, Lord, here's your servant,
thank
Father
you.
God. Man, it does so much, Father God, has such a love for your word. Having a love for your word is having a love for you. It's the same thing, Father God. Just bless him now, Father God, and bless us, Father God. Give us the strength to open our ears and take some of this and put it to use. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I like prayer and fasting while we're all eating, right?
Yes, yes. Eat up.
You'll fast later.
Yes, you will.
Cannot fast while the bridegroom.
That's right. That's right. All right, all right. How's everybody doing this morning? My wife and I, last night, we went and seen Worship Night in America down in Toledo. And it was Chris Tomlin, Kim Walker-Smith, Matt Maher. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm still floating here right now because it was such an awesome time of worship. And there was that place probably holds 8,000 to 10,000 people. And it was packed. And it was great. And just the power of God there. It's been a long time since we've been to a Christian concert. And I don't even want to call it a concert. It was a worship service. Amen. And they were all on the stage at the same time. And it fires me up. So Bob, when he asked me to teach a couple months back, I was praying about, you know, well, what do you want me to teach on, Lord? And God gave me this, the power of prayer and fasting. So a couple months go by, and coincidentally, at the home meeting, what did we just read on and study on last week was prayer and fasting. What a
just a coincidence,
like Bob says. And that's not a sad face, that's a shock face. Oh. So it's going to be a two-parter, so I'm going to come back in May if you'll allow me, Bob. And
yes.
So I figured a good place to start here was Psalm 141. It's a Psalm of David. It says, I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And I love this scripture here. We're praying to God. Don't we want him to come quickly?
Yeah.
Amen. Especially when we're in the midst of a battle or a situation. Hear me when I call to you. You know, that's David. He's pleading with God. You know, hear me, Lord. So I have a song. Since we're doing a two-parter, I'm going to play the song. I'm kicking it back old school here just to kind of get us in the mood here a little bit. This wasn't played last night, but they did have a song about prayer. It was phenomenal. And we got lyrics, too, if you want to sing along, Sarge. Keep it low. Well, maybe we could hear it. Well, we can skip this, I think. I don't know what happened. No. I'm telling you.
Saying, but we need to be conveying, even
Couple more videos. It's not singing. But you know what? We set up. Jesse set up this morning. It was working perfectly, right, Jess? Gee, what a coincidence, Bob. That you know when we need it, we're trying to. That whole song is just a great song, telling you about prayer. You know, let us pray without end, and when we're finished, start again. That's prayer without ceasing. Amen. You know, and then he does the Our Father at the end. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when that song first came out and we seen him in concert perform that song. Right, Christy? A lot of years. So we're just going to go through today just some of the benefits of prayer. Okay? Number one, provides timely direction. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Psalm 25:4. Then I got some guest helpers here. Lovely. Diane, thank you so much. She come up, sat up front, wanted to volunteer. Do you have that first one there? No, you don't have that first one. I'm sorry, Ricardo's got the first one, right? 3-6 prevents wrong decisions. Well, we're going to do some biblical wrong decisions here. Chrissy, come on.
Okay, Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit was of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it.
You know, if she would have just stopped and prayed, right? Oh, you know what, Lord? What do you think? Should I do this? We'd be in a whole lot better shape, right? Amen? Next one, Ricardo. All right, Diane, hold on. I want to get you a mic. I don't want you yelling. Unless you yell at Ken, you'll be all right. That's right. Whoa. I like it. All right. And Diane's going to read us Luke 15:13.
Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living.
Thank you, Diane. So that's the prodigal son, right? Maybe he should have prayed, like, you know, I want the inheritance now, right? And look what happened to him. What a mess. You know, he took that inheritance, and we know the story. But what a wrong decision he made. But thank God he came to his senses, right? But what did it cost him, right? While he was in the midst of that trial, it cost him everything, almost cost him his life, right? But our God is merciful. Amen? I'm sure when he was in that pit, I'm sure he was praying then. Right, Sammy? Number three, prayer produces peacefulness and eliminates anxiety. And Pastor Don knows this by heart. Philippians 4:6-7. Go ahead.
Whatever's true, whatever's noble.
No, the first part. Do not be.
In all things.
Wait, do not be
prayer
anxious.
Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. Peace of God which transcends all. Understand and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Therefore, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, excellent, admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things.
You know, you don't want to put the pastor on the spot unless you know that he knows. Or give him a hand. Okay, we got some more good stuff. Prayer invites God into our activities. I'll give you a couple examples here. The gym. Now, when I was younger, I was like called a gym rat. You know, I used to work out all the time, you know. And, you know, hey, that's nice and all. But, you know, just building this exterior does some, but not much value, right? You want to build the interior. So now that since I rededicated my life to the Lord and started going back to the gym, I use that as a ministry. And I tell you what. I love it way more than before. So God has so many times opened up doors for me to minister to guys at the gym, just strangers at first. But after a while, if you go to a gym, you know you see the same people mostly over and over. And I'll give you one short story. We have some older guys that play racquetball, and they're really good. And at first, they would just tear us up because they're really good. So they invited me to play with them, and after a few times, and they talk a little harsh. And I says, hey, do you mind if I say a little prayer before we play? And they're just like, what did he just say? But do you know, after that, some guys have come up to me and said, you know, hey, Brian, will you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through this and that. You know, so you don't know. Prayer opens up those doors. Amen. At work, right, when God gives you an opportunity, Donna, right? Amen. I know he's used you. How about coaching, Pastor Don?
All the time.
The whole reason, you know, you're down there.
Not even, they don't even want to start. And they'll call me, coach, we got a break. You know, the umpires are trying to get you up, you know, for the foot going there.
Do you remember when everything was going wrong, that one practice?
Yeah, it was a game.
A game, sorry.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Went out there to the mound. And, you know, the story I always tell, which was a cool story, a couple of years ago we were playing Troy Henry Ford, a girl from the other team, slid into second base and broke her ankle.
Mm.
I mean, the foot was like 90 degrees.
Wow.
And so her coach goes out there, goes, get up. You know, it's only spring. And I go, coach, it's broke. Can't you see it? And he turned around and went back to the bench.
Oh.
That's kind of coaching some of these school kids. So I picked her up and I took her over to the bench and put her down. And I turned around and all my girls had come behind me, which I didn't even know. And they go, coach, we want to pray for her.
Oh.
And they all went over and they put their hands on her and prayed for her. And the rescue came. And, you know, we called the next day to see how she was doing. She had to have repair. You know, but she appreciated it. You know, but that was just one of those things. Here I am, the pastor. And think, hey, girls, get over here. They wouldn't even have to be told. They just took it upon themselves and came over. So
trained them well.
Amen.
You just never know how.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I don't do any coaching, but if you don't know my story, I do announcing for the sports team across the street. And so when Pastor Don invited me a couple weeks ago to do the Bible release teaching, I was pumped up because I see these kids all the time. And, you know, public schools, it's rough over there, you know. So I'd been praying. And after that class, and just I got touched, I got blessed so much that... It was just, yeah, it was like overwhelming. It was like, honestly, when you look back in your life, and I'm not all kidding aside, it was one of the highlights, being able to talk to those 38, 40 kids and just share my life with them. Amen? But that took prayer, you know?
Yeah.
Amen? And we still want to pray for them. You know, we want to keep those guys in prayer and lift it up, and we don't know what will happen to them in 20 years. Who knows? You might have future evangelists, pastors, whatever. Number five. Prayer produces confidence. I can do all things through Christ. All right, now I'll say it with enthusiasm. I can do all things. Right? Amen?
I'd say one thing real quick.
Yes.
Just real fast, a little place like Melvindale, the Bible release. I've been in, where's that place we go here in Michigan, huh? By the outlet. Frankenmuth. I was in Frankenmuth and bought something. She asked, you know, driver's license because I looked shifty. She looked, oh, Melvindale. I used to live there about 10 years ago or something, she said. I said, oh, you went to high school there? Yeah. I said, well, I go to the church across the street. Oh, Pastor Woolen. Yes, Pastor Woolen. She remembered Bible release.
Yeah.
Another time we were in New Jersey. The shore in New Jersey, same thing. I working a open stand, hand her the driver's license. I don't know why everybody wants my driver's license, but you know, she looks and said, "Oh, Mel." Same thing. This was like 20 years ago. I guess it was almost at the beginning. She said she had come here and remembers that. She said I had a great time there. To remember something from 20 years ago affects them. So it's not just touching this area. You touch people here, and they go all over and touch other people. Amen.
Amen. We like your stories.
Yeah, it was, you know, I go to Hawaii with my wife a few years ago, and I tell that story, and I promised her that I'd keep my big mouth shut, wouldn't talk. Well, that lasted about 10 minutes into the airport, you know. But I was a good boy all during that time, and then when we were coming home, we were in the Los Angeles airport, boarding the plane, getting in line, you know, everybody, Section 5. And my wife looks at me with this cocky look and says, you didn't run into anybody you knew. And before the words were out of her mouth, we hear, "Mr. Wolin!" And this girl comes running through the terminal with a guy. And it was a young girl that had gone to Mel and had come out to the Bible study. She goes, "Oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. I was just telling my husband about the Bible class and that, you know, you taught it and this and that. And here you are standing right here." And the guy's looking like, "I can't believe it." And I just looked at my wife and said, "You had to open your mouth, did you, honey?" And then the cherry on top of all that was, guess where they sat on the plane? Right next to us. I looked at it and go, "What a coincidence, huh?" Yeah. So, you know, the prayer is the thing. And sharing your life, and you just never know where you're going to be. You know, we think that maybe just saying something to somebody in the gym. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but it's God that gives growth. You know, and our job is to throw that seed out there, keep throwing it out, keep throwing it out. Somebody else is going to come along and water a little bit, but God's the one that's going to bring the growth. Amen?
Number 6, prayer protects us. I'm going to read a story here, so follow along here. My wife and I do a nightly devotional. It's by Focus on the Family. And this one was actually kind of cool because it was on my wife's birthday. So if you ever want to know her birthday, it's the same as Martin Luther King's birthday, so January 15th. The missionary rose and prepared to leave the campsite where he had spent the night en route to the city for medical supplies. He extinguished his small campfire, pulled on his canvas backpack, and hopped on his motorcycle to continue his ride through the African jungle. Every 2 weeks, he made this 2-day journey to collect money from a bank and purchase medicine and supplies for the small field hospital where he served. When he completed these errands, he hopped on his bike again for the 2-day return trip. You follow me? When the missionary arrived in his city, he collected his money and medical supplies and was just about to leave for home when he saw two men fighting in the street. Since one of the men was seriously injured, the missionary stopped, treated him for his injuries, and shared the love of Christ with him. Then the missionary began his 2-day trek home, stopping in a jungle again to camp overnight. 2 weeks later, as was his custom, the missionary again made the journey to the city. As he ran his various errands, a young man approached him, the same man the missionary had ministered to during the previous trip. "I knew you carried money," he said, "and medicine with you. So my friends and I followed you to your campsite in the jungle after you helped me in the street. We planned to kill you and take all the money and drugs. But just as we were about to move in and attack you, we saw 26 armed guards surround and protect you." "You must be mistaken," said the missionary. "I was all alone when I spent the night in the jungle. There were no guards or anyone else with me." "But sir, I wasn't the only one who saw the guards. My 5 companions saw them too. We counted them. There were 26 bodyguards, too many for us to handle. Their presence stopped us from killing you." Months later, the missionary related this story to the congregation gathered at his home church in Michigan. I like that. As he spoke, one of the men listening stood up, interrupted him, and asked the exact day the incident in the jungle had occurred. When the missionary identified the specific month and day of the week, the man told him the rest of the story. He said, "On the exact night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here in Michigan, and I was on the golf course. I was about to putt when I felt a strong urge to pray for you. The urge was so strong that I left the golf course, called some of the men of our church right here in this sanctuary to join me in praying for you. Would all you men who prayed with me that day please stand up?" The missionary wasn't concerned with who the men were. He was too busy counting them one by one. Finally, he reached the last one. There were 26 men, the exact number of armed guards that thwarted the attacker that day. The power of prayer. Amen. And I got a personal story. You can share one too.
You know, this was years ago. We went into, we would do missionary work down in Jamaica. So we were in this one area, and we set up in the middle of these crossroads or these roads. And one of the guys that was with us, right as we're setting up the equipment and just kind of preparing ourselves to minister, one of the guys from the church says, the guy that was leading the trip, he pulled him over and he says, "I really feel an urge. We got to pray for this guy's feet." I'm kind of looking around like, this guy, I think he got too much ganja smell, you know, from going through some of those villages. And he says, no, I really feel God wants us to pray for this guy's feet. And I said, okay, well, you know, sit down. So we laid hands on the guy. And, you know, here I am, you know, as a pastor, like, okay, well, you know, just doing to pacify the guy, basically. So we pray for him. Well, about 10 minutes later, we hear this blood-curdling scream. And this young Jamaican boy came running out of the audience that was there, maybe about 150, 200 people, with a chunk of concrete over his head. He's carrying it two hands. And he throws it down on the ground between the feet of this guy that we prayed for. And everybody's like, what in the world is going on? We walk over there, and he's yelling and screaming and pointing at the ground. Well, what had happened was there's these things. They look like a huge, long centipede. They're about 18 inches long. They call them a 40 leg. And they live out in the sugarcane fields there. And they're poisonous. And so if you get bit by these things, you're going to the hospital, and there's people actually have died from these things. Well, what had happened, it had come out from where the rocks were and had raised up like a cobra getting ready to strike this guy in the ankle that we prayed for his feet. And this little Jamaican kid, he was the only one that saw it. It was at night. It was hard to see. We had pictures of this thing, and we just, you know, you look. And so here it is, even in our unbelief sometimes, you know, like here I am like, okay, well, you know, you want to pray for his feet. Who cares? But that just showed you that God was preparing it. But we were able to use that story to minister to everybody that was there. And thank God for that little kid, because we were a long, long way from any hospital there, you know. And you don't want to go to a hospital in Jamaica. They're not, you know, top of the line. Okay. Okay. Well, what had happened was we got a call. They used to have a thing, neighborhood watch. These guys would drive around, and they were really a pain in the backside. But, you know, they called in, and they said there's three guys that are ripping off items out of this truck yard that was over on Greenfield. And I was right around the corner, so I come pulling up, and there's a car parked there, and these three guys came walking through the fence. Now, the fence was covered with vines. You couldn't even see the opening. And they had cut through there, and they were stealing tires and these the chains off those trucks. They're pretty expensive, and, you know, anything they get their hands on, CB radios and what have you. So I got them out there, gunpoint, and they're up there. Well, what I didn't notice was the one guy in the middle was right in front of the opening, and he took off. So I handcuffed the other two. I got him in the back, and then I started to chase after him. And his voice said, don't go after him. He's got a gun. And I stopped. I just froze. I was by myself at that point. So I waited a couple more minutes. One of the, you know, other cars showed up, and we called for a dog and, you know, sealed off the yard. Could never find this guy. So the next day, I was releasing the two guys. They had posted bond, and they were getting released. And as I was giving them their property, the one guy looked at me, and he said, you know, you're lucky you didn't go after that guy. I said, well, why is that? He says, he had a gun. And he had felony warrants, and he would have used it. He did not want to go back to jail. And it was at the exact time that God had woke Sharon up, and she began to pray and intercede for me. And she called me that day and asked me if anything happened. And I said, well, let me tell you the story, you know. So it just shows you how God, my wife, the same thing. She got the same wake-up call, so to speak, you know. So, you know, there are times when God's going to lay somebody on your heart. You may not know what is going on. You know, just take that time to pray for him. God protect him, intercede him, or give him wisdom, whatever it might be. And, you know, I'm sure I could tell many, many stories like that, but that was one that Bob brought up that definitely, you know, we recall.
Amen. 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 Great story. Cardo.
In home group last week, we were talking about faith and deeds. And Abraham was the topic as well. And I know a lot of people that have read Abraham or about Abraham, they know the sacrifice he had to make to prove that he was faithful to God. And God spared him and let him keep his son because of it and called him his friend. That is, all these examples that were just shared just now are fruit of that, and it shows that these people that we're talking that were obedient to God's word that they put in their hearts are God's friends. And these are the type of people that we need to model after.
Amen.
Yes.
And didn't you read about Abraham earlier?
Yes.
Abram, you're right, you're right. Well, I didn't have this story in mind, but I'm going to share it. What the heck? I've shared it before, but some of you might not have heard it. Years ago, my wife and I and Alex were out in Arizona visiting her mom and dad, stepdad. So we decided we're going to go on a hike because her mom lived across the street from this, I wouldn't call it a mountain, but a large hill, which maybe 1,000 feet, whatever. So we walk all the way around it, which is about a mile and a half maybe, and it's getting really hot. It's like 100 degrees. So then we said, we're going up the hill, so we're going to go down the backside of the hill and get home. So I says, I told her to wait on this park bench. So I'll go to the top of the hill, make sure we can go down. So I get all the way up there, and I look over, and it's nothing but cactuses, and it's undeveloped. I'm like, ah! And I said, all right. And I said a quick prayer. You know, quick prayers are good, too. You don't have to sit there and, you know, go through, you know, 2 hours. I said, just, hey, Lord, you know, help us out. About all I said.
That's all you need.
And so I'm at the top of this hill, probably a couple hundred yards from Christy and Miguel, our nephew, and Alex, and they were little kids. So I'm going down. Now, mind you, this is million-dollar homes. This is like ritzy area here. And I look, and I see a Sanford and Son truck coming through. Well, I'd actually seen it earlier. It passed by me. And then I seen it slowing down. Two guys were in it. And they were slowing down right by Christy and the two, you know, my little nephew and my little daughter. I'm like, holy smokes, Joe. I was like, I just started running. Well, you know, I was going down, and I mean, I was booking it. So I get down there, you know, they took off, and okay, everything's good. Finish the story. My wife.
Unbeknownst to Brian, there was a 7-foot-tall man jogging behind him. And the guys must have seen it and took off. It was big.
She
huge.
Goes.
It was more, to me, it looked more like a shadow, but there was definitely someone running with Brian.
She asked me, she goes, who's that guy running with you? And I go, what guy? Wow. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, he was huge. Like, so it was just a big old beast. And I'm like, there was nobody with me. You know, God can send angels, amen?
Amen,
amen. He does. Yes. Well, you know what? We got through some, but you know what? We'll get through more next time, amen?
Amen.
We might make this a three-parter, Bob, because you know what? Prayer is important. Yes, please. Show us the power of prayer, Sandy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day.
No. We want your story. We want your testimony. And then you can
story.
Close.
I
want
to pray. Okay. What testimony am I giving? I've had many miracles. Miracles. Okay. The one where I died?
Yes.
All right. All right. Oh, that one.
Then you can close us.
Okay. How much time I got? Okay. I'll make it really fast.
You're
okay.
Good. Hey, take your time.
Slight pain in my right here, in my jaw. And I thought that, and I just read 2 weeks ago, my sister-in-law had sent me an email saying that women's heart attack symptoms are different than men's. And so I felt this, like, numbness, like I had chewed gum too hard or something. And I sat there and it was such a weird feeling that within, like, 2 minutes I told Mark, you know, I feel weird. He goes, what kind of weird? I goes, like ER weird. So I got up, and you women know we don't go anywhere without our purses. I just walked right out the door and got right in the car. And then we drove, and I goes, well, you better go faster. My arm is going numb. And then we got to the hospital, and it felt like an elephant was standing on my chest. So I'm like, Mark, get somebody. I think I'm going to die. I'm having a heart attack. So being a man, you know, he goes up to the door. He's all, I don't see anybody. I'm all, what? Go find somebody. And I start, I think I was swearing a little. And so I'm screaming and yelling. And so I threw that little spit thing, you know, that thing. I threw that at the wall. And then finally somebody came and a woman goes, Mrs. Hogan, you're going to have to calm down. And I'm all, calm down. I can't calm down. I'm dying. And I looked at Mark. I'm all, honey, I think I'm going to die. And then I guess my eyes rolled back in my head. Boom, I coded right there. So, you know, I felt it.
that I knew I was dying. I just felt it. Nobody believed me. They didn't do nothing. And then I guess when they jumped on me and started CPR. Well, Mark called the pastors and a couple people called somebody else. Next thing you know, there's 30 people outside praying and praying and praying. And 45 minutes, six zaps later, I coded again back in the cath lab. And then my friends, that's where I worked, my friends all, Sandy, wake up. And I don't remember any of it. So they brought me to, I woke up in another hospital 3 days later on a vent. And then, So then I went to, I kept, every time I got a little numb or anything, I have to go to the hospital. I'm having another heart attack. So poor Mark, I did this to him like 8 times. And about the 6th time I went to the hospital, the guy goes, oh, it's you, the miracle lady. I'm all, huh? She goes, I remember you. She goes, does your chest hurt? I'm all, yeah. She goes, well, it ought to. I broke all your ribs. I'm all, oh, you did the CPR on me? She goes, yeah. She goes, and at one point, I looked up at the doctor and I said, hey, come on already, 45 minutes. She's gone. Mm. And the priest, and then the doctor walked in. He goes, you know, do you believe in God? He goes, because at that point, somebody whispered in my ear, keep going. You can save her. So he kept going. He goes, so because of you, I don't know how many more lives I'm going to save after you. And that's been 10 years. Praise
wow.
God. Here I am. So take that, devil.
Amen.
I got the Lord on me. And Pastor Don and Pastor John and all my friends and my brother-in-law, who is probably the farthest from God that ever was standing on the other side of the curtain. Fight Sandy! Screaming and yelling, and he has since been saved. So,
amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Close us. Come on.
Okay. All right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. After that, thank you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, with the ice all over the trees. We thank you for breathing, Lord. We thank you for waking up this morning. We thank you for our Brian and that wonderful word. And we thank you for the interruptions from the two men that keep us going in this church, Bob and Don. We thank you, Lord, for everybody and everything that just brings us joy every day. We ask that when we go downstairs, Lord, we get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
From top to bottom, Lord, we just filled with your glory. May the Holy Spirit just rise up, Lord, in every one of us.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything we have. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.